You can't be mad that you get left out of investment opportunities if you didn't put yourself in the room. You can't be mad that you're kept out of this new thing or that new thing if you're not fighting to get into where the ideas are exchanged. That's just life. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you their ideas. Nobody owes you their best investments. Nobody owes you an invitation in. And if you don't like what I'm saying, too bad. This is maybe a great wake-up call for you to start kicking down the door and getting into the rooms where the best ideas are recycled.
Welcome, everybody, to the Chris Harder Show, where we are making you unapologetic about your pursuit of success, knowing that when good people like you make good money, they can then do great things. My name is Chris Harder, and several times per week, I will bring you epic guests, solo episodes, and every single tool, trick, and skill set you need to grow your business, grow your money mindset, and to grow your wealth to levels that you have never reached before. I've ended up in a unique place in life where I've got the experience, the connections, and all of the secrets that it takes to be successful. And I'm lifting the curtain to reveal it all to you in an effort to help put you in a position of abundance so great that you can then be as generous as possible. So let's lock arms and let's get started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Chris Harder Show, where today I'm grateful for good conversation. Like, okay, if you know me, you'll know this. I can't stand small talk, and I can't stand shallow, like, conversation that doesn't have a purpose or depth to it. I have to go deep with you right away about something that matters, about something that'll, you know, capture our interest, about building something, about goals, about something that you've overcome. I have to have those kind of conversations in order to be interested. And it's like an on or off button for me. It's not a kind of interested, kind of not. It's not a, oh, I can tolerate it. I'm telling you, the quality of conversation I will have with you when we meet is literally an on or off type of button type of situation, meaning we've got to go deep. It's got to be quality. So when I say I'm grateful for quality conversations, you know, what spurs that? Well, I'm actually going to share a few conversations I've had recently in the past few days with you guys that are examples of the types of quality conversations that Lori and I have when we're with our friends. But what spurred it was, you know, we had a great dinner out last night with three other couples here in Nashville. I'm in Nashville recording right now. And we had extraordinary high-level conversations, and you leave feeling totally filled up and, of course, collaborating and doing things for each other's business, right? So not only do you get good conversation, but you leave with collaborations that wouldn't happen without those good conversations or connections or introductions. All those things happened last night. And then earlier in the day yesterday, we were at Soho House with another couple and had great conversations and walked away with, of course, new ideas and new collaborations. And, you know, that's what happens when you insist on upholding the quality of conversation in your life. And it's really interesting. As we're walking around Nashville here, I'll tell you, and I'm going to tread lightly, but a fact is a fact is a fact. I'll tell you, friend groups really do become the average of each other. Meaning you can tell like the drinking party friend groups, and you can tell the high quality doing big things friend groups, and you can tell the friend groups that encourage each other to be physically fit, and you can tell the friend groups that encourage each other to eat poorly. Because if you think about it, you and your friends, or you and your significant other, and even you and your family, all you guys are is giant reinforcers of shared ideas. You guys just reciprocate the same shared qualities and ideas among your friends, your family, your significant other. And so you're either sharing and recycling high quality standards and high quality ideas, or low quality standards and low quality ideas. But no matter which end of that spectrum you're on, you're going to end up with those type of results. You can't avoid it. You can't be the outlier for too long in a friend group. You just can't. They're going to pull you down or they're going to pull you up, but you can't be the outlier. That's probably the most important thing I can say. If you are performing lower, significantly lower in areas of your life compared to your friend group, they're going to pull you up out of that low performance. It happens. It's a great thing. But if you are the one that is performing significantly higher out of your friend group, the rest of them are going to pull you down. They're going to pull you down physically. They're going to pull you down mentally. They're going to pull you down financially. And you can't avoid that one either. So think about it. Why don't you analyze your friends, your family, the people you spend the most time with right now? Are they pulling you up or are they pulling you down? Because I guarantee you're going to look around and you say, holy shit, I am the average of everybody. And you're either going to be excited about the results you're getting or you're going to say, a change needs to happen. Now, aside from the great conversations that I had yesterday, the day before that, the 2 days before that, I did one of my annual guy trips where I meet this core group of really good, close guy friends. And we have dinner typically 3 times a year. One comes in from Italy. One is my business partner. My brother joins us. Another one comes in from Seattle. And we meet all over the country. Sometimes we meet in Italy. And we have dinner. And we usually spend 24 to 48 hours together. Many times it's just 24 hours, not even. And we just check in on each other in person, have dinner, and have great conversations. And there were a few conversations that I wanted to share with you so that you could get an idea of the kind of conversations you're having when you're with high-level friends. We talked a lot about our portfolios. We talked a lot about the investments we're making. We talked a lot about what we're trying to build and ideas to overcome any challenges that we're having. We talked a lot about what we're doing for ourselves physically to get better, because we're all typically in our 40s, so it's a hot topic right now. How are we going to prolong life? But then in the same spirit of talking about how we're going to prolong life, we talked a lot about, oh my God, what if we outlive what we save for retirement? Because we're the first generation that might, because of medical advancements, commonly live to 120. And most people, if they're even saving for their future, for their retirement, they're saving to live to about anywhere from 80 to 90. So imagine being 90 years old and realizing you ran out of money and having 30 years left. We're going to be the generation that becomes an epidemic. Mark my words. We're talking about how do we not outlive our fortunes that we're building? What do you do to prepare? Where do you put it, et cetera? And there's a few valuable tips that came out of that conversation that I was going to share with you. The first one is this. You cannot invest with FOMO, fear of missing out. You cannot invest from a place of FOMO, meaning one of my friends I was with said this, and this was brilliant. He said, you can't be in every good investment that comes your way, even though they're good investments. And I was like, oh, this resonates. I mean, there's being diversified, and then there's being way too diversified. Right now, if I look at my portfolio, I think I might be just slightly on the too diversified, too many buckets side of things. But it made sense. He's like, you can't invest from FOMO. Oh, I don't want to miss out. What if this thing pops off? I don't want to miss out. What if this opportunity pops off? Oh, I don't want to miss out on this. What if this one is the next rocket ship? Oh, I don't want to miss on this one. What if this is the next big trend? Because when you invest in FOMO, you don't put enough eggs in the powerful basket that will take off. Sure, you're going to miss some opportunities, but your net gain is going to be better because you have more resources into fewer buckets. Now, the opposite is true too, by the way. You can't have all your eggs in one basket. If you have all your eggs in one basket, if it's all in your 401k, if it's all in the stock market, if it's all in a startup, if it's all in, you know, wherever it is, you're screwed because you're just waking up and flipping the coin every day that's not the next market to crash. If you have it all in real estate, if you have it all in rental properties, if you have it all in somebody else's project, you're in really bad shape, even if it's going good right now. And you're going to have to find a way to diversify that. But the opposite of that is you can't FOMO invest. You can't be in all good things at once. And so you have to be able to build that muscle of saying, that's a great opportunity. I'm really excited for you. But I just don't have the time to vet it properly right now. Or that's a great opportunity. I'm so grateful that you brought it to me. I know you're going to do really well with that. But I'm keeping my resources in just a few certain buckets right now, ones that I've already spent the time researching. That's how you can pass on what are good opportunities without spreading your resources too thin. So you cannot FOMO invest. That was the first thing that we talked about. Second thing that we talked about was investing in things that you know and use, and you've probably heard this before, but this is a new twist on it, and that you get enjoyment out of. Investing in things that you know, use, and get enjoyment out of. For example, I love investing in startups, But startups where I actually love their products or I love their company or it gets me into their restaurant or it gets me into their, you know, their back lounge or it allows me to get free bags and their bags I'd want to buy anyways. Or I love investing in functional investments where you get the investment and the joy, the usage at the same time. Another great example of this is Matt and I invest in, you know, classic cars. We're starting to put a little car collection together. So when we bought that classic Jaguar XKE, that 69 Jaguar XKE together, we get to use it. It's going to go up in value. It's an investment, but we also get to use it. It's out in Virginia right now. Matt's using it while it's coming up on summer. Then he'll ship it back to me and I'll use it for a while. Darren, he loves buying properties around the world. He's just about to go furnish and move into their Lake Como property in Italy. And he loves investing in properties, not because it's the best place to put his money. He literally said, he's like, listen, I know there's investments that pay me back a lot more than what the appreciation on these properties will be. But I get to use them. And there's an ROE that I get out of it. And I'm like, an ROE? It's like, yeah, like an ROI is a return on investment. An ROE is a return on enjoyment. Homes that you could use, cars that you can use. Maybe you invest in watches that'll go up. Maybe you invest, like I said earlier, businesses where you love using the business and it kind of gets you behind that red velvet rope, per se. And I was like, what a great concept. You can't put all your money here, but a lot of your investments should be balancing ROI with ROE. So you're going to get an ROI on it, but it might be a smaller ROI than a different place you could put your money. But while you're getting a little bit smaller ROI, you're getting ROE, return on enjoyment. Because life is short. You don't have to maximize every percent out of your investment as long as it's something that is going up. Like, let me give you this scenario. What if I said you're guaranteed to make 18% a year on investment A, but you're just putting your money there and forgetting it? Or you can make 12% a year on investment B, and you get to use that investment, enjoy that investment, get like joy and thrill and experience out of that investment. Those are both good returns. So I'd rather have the lower one that I'm getting some enjoyment out of, because life is short to just put your money into a dark closet that you never see again until you pull it out when you're close to death and say, yay, I made the best decisions. Life is too short for that. It's not meant to be that way. So that whole concept of ROI versus ROE, I thought was pretty awesome. And then the last one you've heard before, but we really went down the rabbit hole on this one. Like, why do the rich get richer? Like, why are all of us doing well? Does our whole friend group just keep crushing it and rising up and et cetera, et cetera? And it's because of the recycling of ideas I started this conversation with. You can't be mad that you get left out of investment opportunities if you didn't put yourself in the room. You can't be mad that you're kept out of this idea or that idea or this new thing or that new thing if you're not fighting to get into where the ideas are exchanged. That's just life. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you their ideas. Nobody owes you their best investments. Nobody owes you an invitation in. And if you don't like what I'm saying, too bad. This is maybe a great wake-up call for you to start kicking down the door and getting into the rooms where the best ideas are recycled, like the dinner I was at last night, or like the dinners that I was at two nights ago with my guy friends, or even at like our dinners. Matter of fact, this is why Lori and I put together our dinner series. Two people at the dinner series, the first dinner, have already made investments into another person who was at the dinner series there. And it's a killer real estate investment that they wouldn't have been invited into without all three of them meeting for the first time ever at the dinner series. Let that sink in. Wild, right? Wild. That's why we put together rooms like that. So listen, whether it is you want to start having a little bit more ROE balance with your ROI, or whether it's you want to stop FOMO investing, or whether it's you want to be part of that group that's lifting each other up instead of the group that keeps recycling ideas that pull each other down, this might be a really cool wake-up call. And we've got just a couple seats left at the dinner table if you want to join us May 30th in Beverly Hills and be a part of where these very ideas are being exchanged, and be a part of where these very individuals are coming by to have dinner and mix it up. If you want to do that, at the end of this episode right now, rush over to chrisharder.me/dinner. Again, that's chrisharder.me/dinner. Grab a seat. It's a healthy investment. It's a big investment. But getting into the room will be an example of massive ROI and ROE. An investment that is well worth it. Trust me. Go check it out. chrisharder.me/dinner. And in the meantime, go lift up your friend circle and fight to get in the even higher ones. Thanks for listening. Love and appreciate you.
Thanks for listening. And if you loved this episode and know of someone else who is as successful as they are generous, please pass them on to me. It would mean the world to me if you helped me get this cause and this message out to as many listeners as I can. So please, if you liked what you heard, it goes a long way if you take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends. I'll be forever grateful. And until the next episode, cheers to your success.